Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Second. Obviously, with new technology, I've muted myself there, I believe. So, hello and welcome to another video and podcast from Fantasy Football Scouts. Here, we'll discuss the best armband options for game week 33. My name is Joe, and hopefully I haven't muted myself this time. And joining me is Tom, who hopefully I haven't muted this time. So, Tom, welcome. How are you?
Yeah, good. Thanks, Joe. I can hear you. I hope you can hear me.
Great stuff.
It's been disappointing weekend for my own team, Villa, or a disappointing second half display, I should say. But a very good day for Son captainers. So well done if you're one of those.
Definitely, definitely. And I just before we start, I just wanted to say that this week on the Meet the Manager video series, so these are designed to look at anytime you want, really, but particularly applicable for this week. I spoke to Chama, who has altered the way he does captaincy. And it's well worth having a look at, to sort of as a companion piece to this video and podcast, well worth having a look or listening to that, because he is in the top 300, somewhere he's never been before, and it's all down to the captaincy. And so he's got some great ideas there about developing early season captaincy matrices and various things like that. But yeah, very interesting. Do have a look at that. And obviously he reveals his captain choice for game week 33, which is what we're doing here. Before we get underway, though, Tom, I understand you've got a few words to say about Fanteam.
Yeah, so the Monster is running again this week. That is their kind of weekly tournament. You pick 11 players. Now, it's only the Saturday and the Sunday games, and it doesn't involve the early kickoff on Saturday, which is Spurs. So you're actually picking a squad from, I believe, 5 matches. On Saturday and Sunday, but that involves Man United, it involves Arsenal, Brentford at Watford, and also West Ham at Burnley as well, on West Ham at Burnley on Sunday. So there's some quite tasty fixtures there to have a look at. But yeah, that's the weekly Monster, so have a look on Fanteam if you're interested in that.
Excellent. Just before we have a look at the fixtures, so what we're going to do this time around, we're going to end with mine and Tom's top 3 picks for the captaincy, and we'll show our journey towards those decisions along the way, looking at some key stats and obviously the fixtures. But I did want to welcome G-Wiz, who is on moderator duties in the live chat. Welcome. Martin, Liskip, Jordan, Jacob, and many more. Thanks so much for joining us in the live chat. Do press the like button. Do subscribe as well. Tell all your friends. Call out the window and tell your neighbours to like and subscribe. They won't know what you're talking about, but just tell them that anyway. So let's have a look at these fixtures. Okay, so we're looking at, it's a double game week as well, and that's what the fixtures show here. So what I've done is I've got the fixtures, as everyone can see, from the Premier League, Fantasy Premier League official website, and then I've also filtered it through a season ticker, pressed the sort by difficulty button, and that shows, that puts all the double game week teams up the top, and shows which have reasonably or good fixtures there. So Newcastle have Leicester and Crystal Palace. Leicester face Newcastle and Everton. Burnley against West Ham, Southampton. Southampton, obviously Arsenal and Burnley. Manchester United have a double two. Norwich and Liverpool, mixed fortunes there. Arsenal, Southampton and Chelsea, another mixed bag. Brighton, terrible fixtures, play Tottenham and Manchester City. I just go home now, do not bother. Meanwhile, there are single fixtures for Brentford, play Watford. Watford play Brentford, obviously. West Ham, Burnley. Everton, Leicester, Man City, that Brighton match. Tottenham, that Brighton match again. Crystal Palace play Newcastle, Liverpool, Manchester United, Chelsea, Arsenal, Norwich, and against Manchester United, as we said earlier. So mixed fortunes there. What's your immediate thought there when you look at those fixtures? Who would you captain? It'd be by difficulty. It looks like it's Chris Wood, isn't it?
I actually do think that the Newcastle fixtures are probably the best. We'll probably go into a bit more detail later on it, but the good thing about, or the appealing thing for the Newcastle fixtures, is they're against teams who are in cup action a few days before. Obviously, Leicester have got PSV, Palace are in the FA Cup, and those matches have the potential to go to 120 minutes. So it could be very good time for Newcastle to play both of those sides. So I do agree with the ticker. I think that that is the most appealing matchup. Whether or not you can find an asset from Newcastle who you're comfortable captaining, I'm not so sure. But yeah, definitely the best fixtures on paper, I think.
Definitely. Leicester riding high there as well. They've got Newcastle, obviously, and Everton. But what slightly puts me off is Everton appear to be, well, much better at home. It's something we've sort of known for a while, but they actually look pretty okay at home, and away they're diabolical.
And the same can be said, not the diabolical bit away, because Newcastle have generally been okay apart from the loss at Spurs, but they've been very good at home too. They've won four in a row at St James's Park, haven't conceded a lot of goals. So I don't think it's the easiest double header out the lot, and it may be trickier to navigate than you first think.
And then we've got Burnley, but I just can't see. We've all been burnt there, so I can't
Yeah,
see
for
that.
sure.
Southampton are intriguing. Terrible form at the moment, but it's not like they're suddenly a bad team. The form is bad, but I've got Che Adams in my team, and I am tempted. I am tempted because Arsenal can concede, and Burnley, that's a great fixture, Southampton.
Good times to play them as well. Arsenal have lost three and four. Burnley lost at Norwich at the weekend and really struggling to put good performances together back to back. So I quite like that Che Adams pick. I don't think I'd go there for captaincy, but I think he looks a really good forward option this week.
Definitely. And then you got Manchester United. So, I mean, is this really a double for Manchester United? They've got Norwich at home, great. And then they've got Liverpool away. So is that sort of one and a bit fixtures?
Yeah, I mean, you'd be surprised if you get anything out of that second fixture. The only thing that United can cling to is Liverpool's schedule. They'll have played two Champions League matches. They'll play Man City twice heading into that, and they actually have a Merseyside derby after this one. So the only thing you can kind of really kind of hope for is tired legs, maybe, and that they could nick a goal there. But I think if you're starting your Man United defenders, you're going to need that clean sheet in the first match, aren't you? Very unlikely to get anything at Anfield.
And obviously with Arsenal as well, once again a mixed bag. Southampton can concede, but Chelsea can concede as well. So Arsenal assets fixture wise could be okay.
Yeah, I mean, they're in a bit of a slump, aren't they? They've got a few key injuries at Arsenal with Tierney and Partey as well, who's really important for them. And Lacazette obviously is struggling to score from open play. So you're probably looking at somebody like Saka, aren't you? I'm not kind of looking at Arsenal for captaincy this week. But again, it's that first fixture where you're going to be banking on returns, because Chelsea away will be a tough game for them, I think.
Definitely. And then we sort of, I mean, I'm just going to sketch over Brighton. I think only someone who is extremely maverick would contemplate captaining a Brighton player against Tottenham and Manchester City, but you never know. It's those single game week fixtures. So Man City themselves, the likes of Kevin De Bruyne against Brighton, and then Son and Kane at home against Brighton. Again, so Brighton have got absolutely torrid time, but that says that perhaps KDB, Kane, Son, these could be good assets for the armband, do you think?
Yeah, I think of the single game week fixtures, I think Spurs have got the best. I like the fact that they're first up as well on Saturday. Now, the issue with if you're going to captain a City player or a Liverpool player or a Chelsea player is they still have to play in the FA Cup before you get to these game week 33 fixtures. And it's very hard to know what's going to happen in those games. They have the potential to go to penalties, I think, at the weekend. So I think there's risks associated with a KDB or a Cancelo or even a Salah or something like that, which is why I like that Spurs fixture, because it's first up on Saturday. And we'll delve into the numbers in a minute with Kane and Son, but they're banging form, aren't they? way. And it's hard to look, if you're not going to get swayed by the two fixtures, it's hard to look past both of those options for captaincy, I think,
definitely.
This week.
And I think that Mo Salah is a great option for the captaincy, because Manchester United are awful. He'll play in this. The Liverpool Manchester United historic rivalry can't be underestimated. I can't see Ronaldo, for example, at Manchester United, or Salah at Liverpool being left out of this. So we know that he can do damage against them. So not a bad shout. I wouldn't be averse to captaining Salah myself. What do you think?
Yeah, again, it's that timing, which I'm not massively keen on, and the surrounding schedule for Liverpool. But, you know, we saw what he could do at Old Trafford earlier on this season when, I think if I remember rightly, a lot of people went to Havertz that weekend, didn't they?
Yeah.
And some people kept it on Salah, and the swing was absolutely brutal. I think he scored a hat-trick and got an assist in that one. So we know what he can do, and United are looking pretty vulnerable at the moment, I think, in the last two games against Everton and Leicester. So look, I'm never going to sit on one of these videos and say don't captain Salah, because we know what he can do. I do think there might be better options this week, but it's never going to be a bad shout sticking the armband on him.
Well, let's have a look at some stats from the members area at Fantasy Football Scout, just to see if this can add to our choices. So we'll have a look at these are the best players in the last four matches. And so ideally what we want is a player that's playing twice. And you have to go right the way down this list. And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and number 10 and 11th. So the 10th and 11th best players in terms of the last four matches expected goal involvement is Fernandes and Ronaldo. So Fernandes is expected goal involvement is just under 3. Ronaldo's just behind him as well. Meanwhile, all of those other players ahead of him, Zaha, Tony, Havertz, Pukki, Kane and Son, Salah, Werner and Richarlison. So obviously penalties come into play there, particularly for the likes of Richarlison. I think Tony's returns have been from open play recently. But nevertheless, it shows that given that Manchester United have one good fixture and one awful fixture, this doesn't bode well for double game week captains, does it?
No, and I think, I'm the kind of manager who will get lured in by the fact that a team plays twice. I think, even with just appearance points, you're hopefully looking at a minimum of kind of four for Bruno and Ronaldo. I suppose for United, they're not in a good moment, are they? They've lost to Everton, they've drawn with Leicester. But you only have to go back a few weeks and they beat a very good Spurs side at Old Trafford. So it's just inconsistent. You don't know which United's going to turn up. But we have been here before. You know, if you go back to double game week 22, United went into that double game week having lost at home to Wolves 1-0, and then Fernandes bags 23 points in the next two games. In double game week 25, the same happened. They had drawn 1-1 at Turf Moor against Burnley, and then Fernandes and Ronaldo got double digits in the double game week. So we're kind of used to going into a double game week without any real confidence in United's assets, but they have performed in the double game weeks this year. Norwich are bottom of the table, so that's a really appealing fixture. And I think the numbers for Bruno and Ronaldo are still okay, despite some indifferent form. If you were to open that table up to six matches, I think they'll be jumping up quite a bit higher, because I think the Leeds fixture was in that, which they did really well in just before that run. So Fernandes is second on the captain poll. I think Ronaldo is fifth on the Fantasy Football Scout on-site captain poll. So I think Fernandes is going to be the more popular of the pick. I think he's got a few more routes to points, but perhaps with set pieces and things. So I like that. And I don't see Ronaldo being rested. I'm not sure about you, Joe, but with Cavani out, I think the fact they're not in cup competitions, if he's fit, he'll play two games, I think.
I would imagine so, but you never know. We've been here before. I know as a Ronaldo owner, on and off, suddenly he's not playing. Suddenly he's ill, or... it's possible. Yeah. If he's going to be arrested for any or dropped, or he's going to give chance to other players, it will be the Norwich game, unfortunately, because I cannot see Ronaldo missing out on the Liverpool game.
Yeah, I mean, I was trying to think if he wanted to set up with a more counter-attacking approach at Anfield. Would he maybe favour, you know, he's played Bruno as kind of like a centre forward a couple of times, hasn't he? Or he could play Rashford through the middle. But I think, like you say, that Anfield match is such a big match. Yeah. You need your big players on the pitch. I would be surprised to see Ronaldo benched in that.
I would be surprised. Elanga playing up front against Norwich is a small possibility, I would imagine.
Yeah, they kind of need some confidence, though, going to the Anfield game. They've been playing so poorly recently. What they really need is a 3-0 win, ideally, don't they, to take that confidence into that game, which makes me... There's no real reason to rest the players either, is there? Because they haven't got European commitments or anything. They're not in the FA Cup. So it feels like they can go full strength. And that's the thing I like about it. And if I had to pick one of the two, I prefer Fernandes for this one. But I think Ronaldo could do very well too.
Yeah, I do. I do think if I owned Fernandes, I would captain him. And I think he's a very strong shout. But I think I'm sort of speaking from the position of people who don't have a wild card left. So it would involve getting him in. It involved probably removing Salah. So you've got to think of wider issues of, do I really want to mess up my team? One fixture. Nevertheless, if you have a wild card in your pocket, I think that could be a good move.
That's the angle I'm coming from, because I'm dead-ending my team into that wild card. So it's very easy to get United players in because you don't want them long-term, do you? And then get them out again. So that's where I am. But every team will be different. It's team-dependent. And if it isn't easy to make that move and you're going to be sacrificing good players, you might want to think about it and maybe look at another player on that list like Son or Kane, something like that.
So Son and Kane, they're hovering around expected goal involvement of 3. Obviously, Son is vastly outperforming that with his goals, but that's what he does. It's very clinical. Kane is assists. I shared just a clip of one of his assists. It was the header, which was, I think, Romero
excellent.
Passed to Kane literally in a half a millisecond could see Son running to the side of him.
Yeah.
And somehow he positioned a perfect pass via
incredible,
his head.
Yeah.
and this through ball, which is incredible, really. So I think Kane's slightly on a different level in real terms. And he's still racking up the FPL points as well. So... Kane and Son, I think, are really good options. Really, really good options for the armband. So far we're looking. These expected goal involvement stats are making us think Fernandes and Ronaldo could be okay.
And just going back to Kane and Son, Joe. I mean, you're a Brighton fan. Mm. Do you see them putting up any resistance at the weekend? Because they have been okay away this year. Or do you think that Spurs will?
Wow.
Be able to rack up the goals against them.
I think Brighton are improving. I think it was a bit of a surprise that they beat Arsenal, but it does indicate they are improving. They haven't changed as a side. I mean, they're still full of the same players. And so I think they will put up resistance, but I think Son, Kane and Kulusevski up front are too potent. And I cannot see Spurs not scoring. They might concede and it might be 3-2 or 3-1 or something, or 2-1. But I think I can see goals.
it's very hard, isn't it? I mean, Villa put up a great first half performance against Spurs at the weekend, but it's very hard to keep that up for 90 minutes because they're so good.
Yeah.
And like you say about Kane, he seems to be half a second ahead of everybody else, doesn't he, in terms of his movements, and he knows where Son is before the defenders can get back into position. And it's really hard, isn't it? I did pull out a few Brighton stats earlier, though, which I wanted to just flag up about their away form. So they're 7th in the Premier League away table this season. They've only lost 3 times in 15 games away from home. They've only conceded 17 on the road. So only Man City, Chelsea, Wolves and Liverpool have got a better defensive record on the road. And no team has scored more than 2 past them all season. They haven't conceded 3 goals in an away game all year. Now, if that's saying that, I wouldn't be surprised if it happened this weekend. But just to flag up that Brighton have been doing okay away. And it's maybe not... as easy a fixture as maybe some of the other ones that Spurs have faced of late in terms of the defensive strength.
Well, let's have a look at some more stats. Best attacks. So this is last four matches, the teams with attacks. So I guess this follows the theme. What you're talking about. Okay, let's see who's top. Well, it's Spurs by a mile. In terms of the last four, in terms of expected goals, Tottenham are well over 10. They've expected to be involved in. They actually scored 14, so over delivering. But these they're absolutely class players up front at the moment, so you would expect some over delivery. City are next, so this is another notch really in KDB, Kane, and Son captaincy there. So both of them played Brighton, and they're up there with Chelsea as well, just behind. Expected to have scored 9 goals, actually scored 11. And then we've got Liverpool a bit further behind, just expected to score 8 goals and have scored 8 goals. And then Brentford improving, Leeds improving, Crystal Palace improving, Aston Villa improving as well, Brighton improving.
I think we probably got most of that total on Saturday in the first half, didn't we? So many chances missed.
But nevertheless, improving. Villa aren't playing this week, I hasten to add. But just shows that they're improving teams. Arsenal slipping down a little bit, but still okay. Southampton, expected to be involved in nearly 5 goals, but have only scored 3. So that shows some underperformance there, and they could be scoring more. Similar with Norwich, Everton, and then further down. This is tricky for the captaincy here. So the worst two attacks over the last four matches are Leicester, which is expected to have scored just under 4 goals, have in fact scored 5. Manchester United, expected to have scored just under 4 goals, actually scored 5. And then Wolves, and then Newcastle and West Ham. So back to the captaincy. Ronaldo, Fernandes, we haven't even mentioned the Leicester players yet, who I favour despite this. So I'm going against the stats here. But this doesn't look promising for Leicester or Manchester United.
No, and Newcastle as well, another popular double game week team are right down there as well, aren't they? I think for Leicester, I think the cons are kind of 2 away games. The opponents have both been pretty good at home of late. And I suppose rotation could be the biggest obstacle with Leicester because of Europe. Yeah. You know, they played against Eindhoven last week, and they made 7 changes at the weekend from the starting 11 in Europe. And that's obviously a bit of a worry with the weekend. I mean, the schedule is basically PSV on Thursday, Newcastle Sunday, Everton Wednesday, and then they play Villa in game week 34 on the Saturday after. I suppose for FBL managers, we want them to go out of Europe because then they might just think, well, look, we're going to play them in the league. We don't have to worry about a two-legged semi-final. So I think it's hard to make a concrete kind of choice on or decision on the Leicester players right now. We kind of need to see what happens in Europe on Thursday. Of the options, I like Maddison the most. I think he's third in the captain poll at the moment, so he's going to be popular. Yeah. 14 attacking returns in his last 14 starts. Doesn't get a lot of shots in the box, but it's that all-round points potential with assists, which I like. I do favour him over Barnes, just, I think.
Yeah, definitely. Let's have a look at the worst defences. So what do we want here from our captaincy choices? So who's playing Norwich? Because Norwich are the worst defence. They've only conceded 5 goals, but they're expected to have conceded nearly 10. So that proves that they're there for the taking. Burnley are next up, expected to concede 8, and they conceded 8 and they were expected to concede 9. Then Southampton's defence, pretty ropey, 11 goals conceded, but they expected to concede a little bit fewer than that, so just over 8 goals. And then Leicester's defence, pretty poor, and Brighton's defence, pretty poor. And then the best defences are City, Brentford and Liverpool. Interestingly, Brentford's defence has really improved. Nevertheless, this is another notch, really, for Fernandes or Ronaldo for the armband, isn't it, against Norwich? So they still are awful in terms of defence.
Yeah, and funnily, they've kept back-to-back clean sheets now against Brighton, I mean, they were lucky in that one. Brighton had a lot of shots,
31,
didn't they, in that
wasn't it?
One.
31 shots.
Yeah,
same as the game week.
Yeah.
Almost.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I think I watched them at, against Burnley on Sunday, and they came out on top in that one. But they gave up a lot of space in the wide areas. I think if Loughton and Lennon had had better games, I think they could have taken advantage of some kind of poor defensive play by Norwich. They're not as bad as they have been at times this season, but I think that proves that, you know, United, if they're kind of a 7 or 8 out of 10 United, they should score a couple of goals past Norwich at the weekend. Yeah. We've been here before, you know, they drew 0-0 with Watford a few weeks back, United, didn't they? But again, that was another game where if you played that game 5 times, they would score goals in 4 of them. They were just a bit unlucky on the day, I think. So, we haven't got loads of confidence in United, but we haven't got much confidence in Norwich either defensively. So, yeah, it's about as good a first fixture as you can get, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. So I think bearing all of that in mind, let's have a look at our top three picks. So hastily cobbled this together image-wise, but we're going to look more fabulous next week. So your top choices, let's go. Who are your top three choices then and why?
Yeah, so number one, Fernandes. I always tend to favour a player who's going to play twice in a double game week. I think there's been some indifferent form of late from him, but we've seen it before in 2 double game weeks this season. He's pulled double-digit hauls out in both of those, despite going into it not looking brilliant. I think his numbers have remained good over the past 4-6 fixtures, even though they've had a tough run and they've played City and Spurs in that time. And yeah, I'm kind of edging towards Fernandes right now. Got Ronaldo in second, which tells you I am kind of backing United to deliver in that Norwich game. And then I've got Maddison third. That's probably the one most up for debate, because I think we're going to need to see that European game on Thursday before committing to it. But as it stands, it's Tuesday, things can change, but that's where I'm at the moment. And it's interesting because I think you've gone for some completely different choices, haven't you, Joe?
No, I have as well. It's partly influenced by my situation, which would be similar to some others, as in I don't have a wild card. So getting the Manchester United players is entirely possible and easy, but it would involve removing the likes of Salah and even Harry Kane. And I'm not prepared to do that. And I've got no way of getting them back. Well, I could, but it's lots of transfers for a move. To remove players I really like and I want to keep. So my tentative ones are Maddison, who I don't own yet, but I do have a Rafinha-shaped hole ready, waiting for Maddison to slot in. And I'll get him in. And I think he looks the best captain for me. Yes, he's away to Newcastle. Yes, he's away to Everton. And both of them are better at home. Nevertheless, as you said, it's that assist potential, bonus potential. He's involved. I do think he might not start one of these matches, but I don't mind that as such with a player like him, because he is so involved. Send Maddison on in the 70th minute. He's got 20 minutes of crosses and corners and possibly a free kick. And we've seen it many, many times. He's exactly the kind of player that can get returns in 20 minutes or so, because he's just involved. He's so involved. I don't mind that at all. Then Saka, because I do want to captain a double game week player. I do like Kane, I do like Son, and I do like Salah, but they've only got one fixture, and I would like to captain two, because you never know with that second one. So on paper, I think Saka is probably my personal best bet, and he'll be in a number of teams. He's very, very highly owned. I can see Arsenal getting returns in that Southampton game. I can see Saka's the man most likely to score. He's doing well. We'll talk about him more in the scout cast, but he's actually doing quite well in the stats. I think the Chelsea game, you never know. I think Chelsea can concede.
Brentford will tell you that, won't they? I mean, they were looking a bit. They weren't looking great going into the weekend, Chelsea, were they? No. And then they've obviously pulled that great result out at Southampton. Mm. But again. Arsenal could nick a goal.
Yeah, easily. So if he gets a couple of goals, there's going to be bonus in there. So you're looking at a really healthy return there for a double game week captain. And then I have gone for Kane. So I think if I want, so if I decide, right, I can't bet any of these double game week players, I'm not sure Madison's going to start. Saka, I'm just not convinced. So if I get to the end of the week and I'm like that, then my best bet is Kane. Kane and Son, absolutely on fire. If you own one of them, you cannot go wrong. I mean, they are brilliant bus team captains. And I think on the Scoutcast tonight, I've got the captaincy on Kane just as a, at the moment.
Yeah, because I think he's my vice. So yeah. because just going back to my list, I own Fernandes, but I don't, and I own Ronaldo or Maddison. I can get to Maddison like you, Joe, via Rafinha. But at the moment, I don't have options two and three. So Kane is a really kind of comforting vice captain, albeit with one fixture, because you go into games with Spurs at the moment and you're really surprised if they don't return. You're expecting them to get one or two attacking returns. So, I'd feel fine going in with a Kane or a Son as a captain if you can't get to those double game week players, or if they don't take your fancy.
Yeah. So there we go. I mean, it's one of the toughest weeks for the captaincy. Usually we just say it's Salah or someone else, but probably Salah. And sometimes we think, oh, it could be a Kane on some week, it could be KDB. But this week, there's so many single game weekers have good fixtures. There's a lot of double game week teams. They all fluffed their audition last week. Saka fluffed his audition, and the Leicester lads did as well. Apart from Dewsbury Hall, who's in my team, who might end up being my captain. You never know. I think it's a really tough decision, and I think it's going to be quite split. And I can see some big changes in the rankings for going at the end of this game week. And I don't think there were too many in the last one, but I think there could be some real gains to be made.
I agree.
And I don't know if there's going to be too much cost. I think if you, for example, Salah might be under 100% effective ownership once his captaincy is taken into account, for example. So that will alleviate some of the pain if you don't own him.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a week where if you don't back the Spurs duo, I think you're going to want them to blank, aren't you, in terms of your overall ranks. I can see them both being over 100% effective ownership. But then you might have many leagues to play for and you might be rooting for them regardless. It depends which kind of way you play the game. But I think if you're simply looking at OR and you're not going to captain them, you're probably going to want a big performance from Brighton at the weekend.
Yes, that's the spirit. And on that bombshell, Tom, thanks so much for joining me. Good luck with your captaincy decision. Thanks so much, all of you joined us, over 400 of you. Thank you very much. Do press like, do subscribe, do tell your friends. Good luck with all of your captaincy decisions and those who are listening and watching back again later in the week. But Tom, thanks for joining me. Good luck.
Thanks, Joe. See you soon.